Well, hello, 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 everybody. If you are joining us live, it is 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Central. You can do the rest from there. I have given up. And if you are joining us live, it is time for another kick-ass career conversation. I am Kim, and my lovely co-host is here.
I'm Louise, and we are joined by Laura.
Laura, yes. Hello. Yes. Hello.
We will let the world know a little bit more about you in just a little bit, Laura. But in the meantime, we want to dive in like we start every week with celebrations. What are we celebrating today?
I am celebrating. So I just hopped off an amazing webinar and training that I was hosting with a bunch of women, young women from Africa who are looking to break through a very tough male dominated industry in a space that keeps women small. And it was so enlightening, I think is the word, and so rewarding at the same time, where I got to not just share my knowledge and help lift these girls up, these women up, to own their own stories and their own voices, but also very humbling at the same time, to know what kind of challenges they're facing and what desires they have. And it was a bunch of emotions all packed together at the same time. But I'm celebrating the opportunity to be able to do that, right? To be able to connect with people halfway around the world, and to be able to lift others up. It was really amazing.
Mm-hmm. That is so beautiful, Louise. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad that you're taking the opportunity to do that too, right? Because we're given opportunities all the time, but we don't always take them. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this opportunity came to you and you're like, I don't know why, how, what, but I'm happy to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's me. Laura, what's going on in your world that you're celebrating?
I am celebrating. We have a really unique thing happening next week. If you're not aware, if you're not on the eastern half of the country, you may not know this is going on, but we're having a huge total solar eclipse on Monday. And where I live in Indiana is in the path of totality for that, which I is so exciting. Yes. So I'm actually wearing my eclipse earrings today. So I'm really excited, but I have been tapped into our city. Is I live in near Muncie, Indiana, which is where Ball State University is, if you've ever heard of that. And so our little downtown area, there's this green space, and they have asked me to come before the totality and do some yoga and meditation. And they're just making it kind of a zen zone to watch the eclipse. And so I'm super thrilled. All of my children are doing e-learning on Monday, so they get to come with me. And you know, it's just going to be a really cool day. So I'm celebrating the chance to do that, because I think, you know, 375 years from now is the next time it'll be back. So they're, you know, it's kind of a once in a lifetime thing for sure.
For sure. Yeah. So I lived in Chicago in 2017, the last mm-hmm. time that we yeah. had, and it was not a total. And
right.
It was not
right.
It wasn't a new moon. It wasn't yes. a total. But that was amazing. I worked at Montessori school at that time, and it was amazing to be yeah. with the kids. My husband apparently knows that David Letterman went to Ball State University.
He is correct. That is our one famous alumni. Correct. Yes.
I love that we get these random tidbits from my husband.
So good. Yes.
Yeah. So we live now in Montreal, and we are right in the path of
very cool. Yes.
In its totality. And they actually gave all of the kids the day off.
Yeah.
So not even remote learning. It was, you get the day off. Here are the glasses. Go enjoy. Like this.
I wish we had that, because yes, I mean, it's a day of learning for most of the kids. So absolutely.
As well for the adults.
Like. I know. I'm so excited. So excited.
Absolutely. Definitely something to celebrate. And what a cool opportunity to be involved with like mm-hmm. the whole community in that way.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Very nice. For me, I am celebrating something that probably most people wouldn't be celebrating. I am celebrating existential crisis in my business.
We've all been there for sure. Yeah.
It's all is good. The business is fine. The services are all still there. And they're like, I am there to provide as I always have been. That's not changing. What is changing is just the way that I have been leaning out of my comfort zone and recognizing that in some ways, and recognizing that that is absolutely where I'm meant to be. And so it's like that final push of the growth edge, right? It's that place where I always imagine it as it's like this very thin film, and it's like I just have to pop through to the other mm-hmm. side. And that's kind of the existential crisis that I'm going through right now. I just have to pop right on through. But yeah, so I'm celebrating that because that's, you know, it means a growth edge. It means that exciting things are on the other side. And so that's, it doesn't sound quite as exciting as talking to women halfway around the world about, you know, supporting them in the job place and being part of the community for the solar eclipse, but it's my excitement and I'm going to celebrate it.
Yes.
Please do.
Yeah.
All right, friends, let's let the world know a little bit more about you, Laura, and then we can take it from there. Okay, cool. So I love that what she included on her application for being on the podcast. She is super excited to share all of her passions and zigzaggy career path with us. Mm-hmm. So we get to dive into that in a little
bit. Absolutely, yes.
Oh, yay. So Laura is a mindset coach, yogi, and huge believer of saying why not in response to people saying you can't do something. Her coaching focuses on determining, manifesting, and implementing the big dreams we have and helping people recognize their burnout. Ooh, so important. She spent more than a decade in the corporate financial world and walked away to coach and start her own yoga studio. Laura preaches that money follows when you realize what your assignment here on earth is. Her work in her company, The Branch Collective, includes hosting a weekly podcast, coaching, and owning Sacred Steps Yoga Studio and Store. As she mentioned, she lives in Indiana with her husband, Alex, two boys, Rowan and Milo, and puppies, Teddy and Poppy. Yes. Laura, we are so, so glad that you're here.
I'm excited to be here. And I have to mention, if you hear a little whining in the background, that is Poppy. So she is in her crate and she's not happy about it. So I apologize to everyone. Yes, she's fine.
Okay. It's okay.
As long as it's not the husband.
Yeah. As long as it's not the husband.
It's not. No.
Yes. Oftentimes my fur babies are joining us here on the podcast because I can't do much about it, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's all good. I gave you a high five while Kim was reading. That pivot to go from corporate to something new, different. Mm-hmm. I want to dive into that before we trace your zigzaggy career path. I want to know about that pivot. Like what instigated that?
Yes. So this, and it's really interesting that we're talking about this right at this moment, because I am approaching, that was exactly 1 year ago this month that all of that happened. So I am 12 months out, even though it feels like it was yesterday and 20 years ago, all at the same time. So it's, so I have to back up actually 2 years before that. I experienced the loss of my mother pretty suddenly and my grandfather, who was absolutely my person, within a 6-week span. And that itself was a lot. But on top of that, they lived together on my grandfather's farm, my dad, you know, so I'm trying to coordinate everything. We couldn't tell my mom that my grandfather had passed away because she was so sick. We were, you know, it would set her back. And so it just, oh my gosh, just a whole summer's worth of trauma for me in 2021. And so, 2022. Sorry, I get my years mixed up here. So before all of that started to happen, I just really wasn't feeling super great in my career. So I had been a mortgage lender for 7 years and I had been a very successful mortgage lender. I was at the top of my company. I was in all the National Scotsman Guide and winning trips and doing all of these things. And yes, making money is fantastic, but at the same time, I just really felt disconnected from the predatory nature of that system. And it's not any specific company. They're working with the system that we have in this country. And it just kept not feeling good for me. So I thought, okay, you know, I'm feeling a little discontent. Then the stuff happened with my family and I'm just, you know, in a tailspin. So at the end of that, just a couple of, it was probably like death by a thousand paper cuts, really. A couple of, you know, final minor things had happened at that company. And mortage lending is weird because you don't really have a resume and apply and go get a job. People come looking for you, or you go to say to a company, what can you offer me? And so I had all of these offers. And meanwhile, you know, I don't know how much anybody knows about this, but this is 2020, 2021, 2022. The mortgage market was crazy. I mean, crazy. I was working, you know, I always joke, when do I get my furlough for COVID? Because I never got one. It was very crazy. But so, you know, just all of this is happening. And so I finally decided, you know, I think it's the company. They had done a few things that I wasn't really pleased with. So went to this other company for about 6 months. And I was just getting sicker and sicker mentally and physically. And, you know, it finally dawned on me that this is not what I want to be doing. And it's very hard to walk away from a multiple six-figure job. And so, of course, my husband's like, what do we do? You know, we joked that he was retired. He had been a stay-at-home dad for 3 years. You know, what is this all going to mean for us? And so before I left mortgages, I had thought, you know, I think I really would like to do coaching because I really enjoy that. I enjoyed this mentorship piece. I enjoy, you know, I'm in my mid-30s now. I feel like I should be mentoring these folks just coming out of college. And you just really, and I have always benefited from having a coach, whether that be professional or personal. And so, you know, I thought, okay, I'm going to try to get this going. And then just kept getting sicker, and decided to go on medical leave. And because I hadn't been at the company, a lot of the laws and things didn't apply. And so my company was like, yeah, we just think we're going to part ways with you at this point in time. Oh. And so, you know, and I don't have any ill feelings towards them because I probably would have done the same thing if I were them. But at the same time, you know, I just was in this place of, okay, because I don't know what I want to do with myself. And so took most of May and June to get well and, you know, rest. I mean, I really couldn't tell you what I did during those 2 months last summer because I just was kind of living in the day to day. And during that time, so I had gotten my yoga, I've been a practicing yogi for probably about 10 years. And I always joke that, I mean, restorative yoga saved my life when I was a mortgage lender because it was the literal only hour I had during the week or a couple times during the week that I didn't have my phone attached to my hand because somebody else needed something. And so I had gone through teacher training in 2021. And really, I taught for a little bit here and there, but didn't do anything with it. And then out of the blue, as I'm in the middle of this healing phase, a realtor friend of mine calls and says, I have someone with a yoga studio for sale. And I know you're really into that. And I didn't know if you might be willing to sit down and talk with her. Well, we did. And I had kind of known her since a small town and, you know, didn't know her well, but we sat down and talked and it just didn't work out financially and for several other reasons for me to purchase the building. But she said, I really feel like you're supposed to be in this space. Would you consider taking one of these units and opening your own studio here? And me being in the middle of, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, said, yeah, sure. Let's make this happen. So that was in July and we've been kind of building and growing and I know nothing about owning a yoga studio, but here we are, you know, a year later. And, you know, I also do some nonprofit work just for, you know, insurance and paying the bills and that kind of a thing. But I'm slowly working myself out of that, which is fantastic. So yeah, that's the dumps. I just put a match on it and walked away. So it's, yeah.
Hey man, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it too. Yeah. I pulled one from the same matchbox.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like you just know that there's nothing there that you can salvage in that space, right? And you do need time to step away and heal and go through all of that. And I think grieving is a part of that too, right?
Hugely.
Especially when we've invested so much time and energy and education and money into that professional person.
Yeah.
And it can feel like a failure when we can't make it work, when we try so hard to make it work.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for me, it was grieving too. you know, the coworkers that I had at the mortgage company, when I moved to the second mortgage company, I mean, they literally stopped speaking with me. And I'm talking, my assistant had a key to my house. You know what I mean? We were very, very close. And so, you know, I think there was a lot of that. But at the same token with that, and I don't know how you feel about it, I really think the second company did a favor by saying, yeah, we're going to part ways here, because I don't know that I ever would have actually taken the leap to do what I'm doing now if I didn't have that push out of the nest.
Yeah. Yeah. For me as well. I left, I worked at the same organization for almost 24 years, went to some place that was not a fit at all. Yeah. And I struggled for 15 months there trying to make it work, trying to find my voice, trying. And I did have to take a step back and figure out how to make it work. But yeah, much like you, it was like, if I was still at that first company, I'd probably still be at that first company, right? Like making it work, making it be fine. Right. This four letter F word that we fire around, like can breathe it. It's like, no, it's horrible. It's fine.
And you justify it a million ways, right? Well, you know, I'm making good money, or, well, you know, I am also doing these really good things in the community, so it must be okay. And, you know, just, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not fine.
No.
I'm just going to say it's not fun. So I left a nonprofit. My last job when I was working for somebody else, before I went full-time into entrepreneurship, was in the nonprofit sector. And I was working for a nonprofit that I had been at, the Montessori school that I'd been at for 10 years. And it was really hard for me to leave that organization. Not only was it a really wonderful organization and I really loved the people that I worked with there, my daughter was also a student there. And so while I was still going to be connected, it was going to be in a very different way. I wasn't going to have that same feel. And so it was very hard to leave. My heart was still with, my heart is still with them, honestly. I went into another one as a safety net, because I wasn't quite ready. Like, I had already been working on my business. I wasn't quite ready. Okay. I did make more money than my husband did at that time. So it was going to be a little easier if I just, I'll just take this other job just for a little while, just for a little while. And I promised him, I'm like, it for 1 year, I will give you 1 year in this. Well, in the first week, I knew it was a bad fit. And so from that first week, I started my exit plan. So I knew that that was coming, and that allowed me to keep showing up because it wasn't fine.
Right.
And I think that that is, instead of trying to make it work, I was just like, I just need the bare minimum so I can keep this paycheck right now. And if I don't have this paycheck, I will figure that shit out.
Right. And I think, you know, speaking to your, you know, it wasn't fine. My body knew that it wasn't fine.
100%.
And that's what ended up, I won't say betraying me at the end of it, but I mean, it was like, hey, we're flaring this up and you either fix it or we're done. So, you know, it's interesting. And I could go down a rabbit hole on this, but, you know, we're really taught not to listen to ourselves. And I think that's what I did for the better part of 7 years in that job. Absolutely.
Yeah. Our bodies are so wise. I was just having a conversation with a client of mine yesterday. She, at a position she had a while ago, ended up having a lot of mouth pain and mouth sores. And it was very scary. It was, what's going on with this? And what was interesting was, in that role, she was actually being silenced. And it was showing up. It was manifesting as pain in her mouth. She's in another role where now she is starting to feel a different symptom. And I said, what is your body telling? Because your body is so wise. Your body actually indicates what the problem is. And yet we ignore it. And we go through Western medicine that tells us, take all these supplements, have all these tests. And if you're in the United States, it's like every test immediately, do all the things, spend lots and lots of money. And we don't know what's wrong with you.
Right.
And yet you know what's wrong with you. You're misaligned. And that's, that gets to the, what we were going to talk about as our topic today, this idea of aligning our passions with our profession. And you kind of alluded to this idea, like yoga had been a part of your life for a decade or more. So how did you know when this offer came to you of, I can say yes to that?
Yeah. I think it really started, and you know, and I feel like I've always been a person that's pretty good at recognizing this might be an opportunity. You know, I'm not usually a person, you know, I joke with my husband because he always, you know, I'm like, do you want to do this? No, is always his answer. And that's not me. I do stop and he's so much better than he used to be. But, you know, I stop and think, okay, you know, what, and you know, part of it is the, I can't do anything 20%. So if I'm practicing yoga, by God, I'm getting the teacher training and then I'm going to, you know, and that's just my personality a little bit too, but I had actually taken a hiatus from teaching, and someone that I knew here in town, this was before all of the stuff happened, said, you know, hey, would you think about teaching a class at noon on Friday? And I thought, well, I'll try it for, you know, a month or two and see how it goes. And I had really missed teaching, and because, you know, when you're teaching, that's the best way to learn something. And so I had really missed my own practice, had missed, you know, just that connection. And I think it also brought me in a room, you know, good or bad, yoga people have certain characteristics. And I love some of those characteristics. And so it really brought me and my soul back to a connection with, you know what, people do exist, not giving a crap what the mortgage market is doing today. And, you know, that was so revolutionary to me that, oh my gosh, the average person probably couldn't tell you what their interest rate is on their mortgage right now. So, you know, just some of those kinds of things, like, oh my gosh, you know, but I had been being told in that corporate environment that this is the end all be all. And, you know, we drive the world and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So it really kind of opened my eyes to what was possible. And I think with the ownership of the studio, I had been, you know, I when I travel, I go to yoga studios. When I, you know, I've taught at several yoga studios, all of those kinds of things. So I kind of knew what I wanted and what I didn't want. And I really saw that there was a need. I really love to focus on the more spiritual and metaphysical side of things. My studio is very, it's a very gentle studio is how I would describe it. So, you know, we're not doing the hot power yoga, and you will never see me with a six pack of abs, like standing on my head most of the time. It's, you know, but I really saw a miss for that, because one of the studios I taught at is a wonderful place. It's a hot studio. You know, it offered a very specific clientele of folks. And I'm like, there are more Lauras out there that, you know, that need to be shown. Yoga can save your life if you're in this career that's killing you. And so I think that is really, you know, it was, again, I don't want to say this death by a thousand paper cuts, but it was just these little glimmers of things of like, this is what you need to be doing, because, you know, you've been put here for this reason. And it's been really cool to see that with the studio. I mean, most of the people that come to my studio have never done yoga before. So that's why I love it. I don't see it as a competition for these other places in town that I love, because these are folks that, you know, have never, you know, I had a lady, she emailed 18 times before her first class. She's like, I'm 60, I'm overweight, and I don't think I can do this. And we're like, just come. And she was brave enough to just come, and she loved it, and she's come back, and, you know, all of those kinds of things. And so I think, you know, that really just really kind of focused in everything that I was looking for at that moment, and has continued to kind of blossom and grow out from there.
Yeah. It's the word that I heard that I think we confuse, I think, purpose with passion all the time. Mm-hmm. And what we're actually talking about, I think, is aligning our purpose with our profession and really honing into that inside and who we are, with how does that manifest on the outside world, and that alignment. Cause I often get this comment, and you tell me if you've heard this, is like, well, we just can't do our passion for a paycheck. It just wrecks it, right? The joy that I get out of this, this passion project, it's just going to ruin it if I put all of the, all of that weight on it to, bring me what I need it to bring me.
And I think, yes, I do hear that a lot. Absolutely. And I think, I really think that's a personality depending statement. And it also depends on what, you know, there are definitely things about owning a yoga studio that I wish I didn't have. I wish I could just go and do yoga every day, but no, I have to do payroll, and I have to pay the rent, and I have to, you know, make sure there's salt outside the doorstep, and, you know, all of those little things that, that's not the yoga part of it that I love. But at the same time, you know, yeah, because I also get into it too. Like, I would love to just go and take a yoga class. That doesn't happen for me very often because I'm teaching 6 classes a week. And so, you know, I think you're exactly right there. But, you know, but there are other people I know that, you know, the nonprofit that I work at is a great example. Her passion is youth facing homelessness, and she has turned that into work. And so, you know, the gal that founded the nonprofit. And so, you know, she has literally just exploded this passion that she has and brought other people into it. And so I think it can go both ways, but yet, you know, if it's a case, but I think what I want to say about what your statement was, you don't have to make your passion. You can love to crochet and not crochet to sell things on Etsy, right? Like you can, you can just enjoy your hobbies, but I think there's a way to do both of them.
Yeah. And I mean, coming from the social impact world, coming from nonprofit in particular, but social impact, social enterprise, passion is a key component beyond even purpose, right? We are called to do something. We do have a purpose, but the reason to go that step further and to find a way to turn it into a business, whether or not it's for monetary profit or not, it is there does need to be that spark of passion, at least initially, right? Yeah. Passion does, and Louise, to your point, passion does wear off.
Absolutely.
In any relationship we have, right? Yeah. Passion can wane.
Yeah.
It can also be reignited, but passion is not that sustainable. It's always there, to your point, Laura, of having to like do all the things with the yoga studio that you don't want to do. There's no passion in doing payroll.
Right, exactly.
For you. Yes. But there might be for somebody else, but not for you.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. So and I think that's, you know, different. Yeah. And I think a good way to frame that too, and this may make me sound like a horrible person, so hopefully it doesn't. But I think of passion and purpose when it comes to my kids. So there are days I have no passion to be a mom because you know what I mean? If somebody asks me about what's for dinner one more effing time, like I'm just gonna be, you know, but that is my purpose. My purpose is to be a mom, and deep down I'm gonna make the dinner because it's my purpose to be their mom. And, you know, but other times I'm like, I am put on this earth to be a mother. I love my kids. And, you know, and so I think you're exactly right. That kind of ebbs and flows with, you know, with life and what's going on and what outside factors are, you know, time of the year, how are you feeling? You know, all of those kinds of things.
Yeah. I think it's that spark. Right. Mm-hmm. When we think about when we came up with this topic of aligning our passion with our profession, I think that spark, right? That moment of, I'm going to say yes to the yoga studio. Mm-hmm. That moment of, I am going to be the best mortgage lender ever. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt when I started practicing law. That's how I felt when I went into the entertainment industry. It's how I felt when I was in the nonprofit sector. It's how I felt when I became an entrepreneur, about being an entrepreneur, which was really interesting because my spark was entrepreneurial and I needed to find how to align that spark with something that I could bring into the world.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's the interesting part for me is like, how do we identify or what tips do we have for people that are listening in on how to identify when that spark is something that you might want to align? Hi, Charlie. You might want to align with your profession.
Yeah. I think for one of the tools I use a lot for myself and I encourage my clients to use is when you're so let's say you have an opportunity put in front of you. You need to make sure most of the time. Now, it's not like, should I go grocery shopping? This doesn't apply to that. That's, you know, completely. But when it's a big decision, is it a full body no or a full body yes? Meaning you can feel that in your body that there's something in this that's going to align with you. So, you know, you've already decided to be an entrepreneur. And so maybe you're trying to, you know, and I'm just throwing things out here, obviously, but, you know, maybe you're trying to decide between owning a boutique store and making your own fishing rods and something else. And so as you're looking at these options, you know, and that's what the yoga studio was for me of, I really don't know what I'm doing, but this just feels right. And so I think, again, it kind of goes back to what we talked about with making sure that you are listening to yourself, because you always know the answer. And that's really frustrating sometimes to know that you always know, because it's not always what you want the answer to be, but your body and yourself is going to know that answer. And so I think, yeah, and giving yourself appropriate space, not that we don't, you know, sometimes we do have to make snap decisions on things, but when it's things like this, just really making sure before you get too far down the road that you have stopped and really evaluated that for yourself.
Yeah. Louise, what do you work with your clients on in this way?
Well, it's so interesting because you're right. We do know the answer. Mm-hmm. And we get stuck here mm-hmm. all of the time, right? I should, this is what it should look like. Mm-hmm. This is what it should be. This should.
This is what everyone else is telling me. Yeah.
Right. And to really take a pause for a moment and work on how do we find our own voice in that, mm-hmm. right? How do we get back into our heart and our gut and really understanding what that can be, what it can feel like or sound like or whatever that is, mm-hmm. right? And so it is a lot of that. I work with so many folks before we do anything about your career, about like what decision or crossroad you're at, what wall you're up against. It's like, who are you? Mm-hmm. What are your values? Right. What's important to you? Like in the whole totality of who you are,
yeah.
not just the work that you do. And when we can just pause and slow down for a moment, we actually like start to hear our own voice in that, mm-hmm. Right? We bring up other things because we yeah. have all of these other parts and all of Absolutely. These other voices, but we do have to be able to do that. Laura, when you were talking about this whole body, yes, and that, mm-hmm. that our body knows, it's like I'm learning that. I'm in that space still, yeah. even after being an entrepreneur for 6 years and my whole other life I had before. It's like I'm learning what a yes feels like and what a no mm-hmm. feels like. Because
yeah.
I was never in that space before. I never had to listen to my body before right. because the opportunity was put in front of me, right? It's like, oh, here's a job. Oh, Louise, here's this other thing to do. Oh, here's this other thing to do. And I'd go, sure,
mm-hmm.
right? And right. I go along merrily along and right. And 25 years pass and right. Here I am at a completely different place. And I have no connection to my yes or my no. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Mm. What's so interesting is, so I had been working with a lot of my clients in using human design, and mm-hmm. human design is a fabulous tool, mm-hmm. particularly around identifying your style for making decisions. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's good for a lot of things, but yeah. that's one of the entrance spaces. And so this whole body, yes or no, that whole hell yes, hell no, mm-hmm. absolutely works for certain people. There are some people that doesn't work for mm-hmm. because they don't have that inner guidance system. They're just not right. designed with that same inner guidance right. system. So learning, whether you use a tool like human design or any other tool, exactly to what you were saying, Louise, is learning what our mm-hmm. inner wisdom sounds like is yeah. key to identifying, is that a spark at all?
Right.
Right? Even going back to, I don't even know, is it a spark?
And what I was going to say is I think, you know, sometimes you do have to train yourself how to figure that out. And so what I have a lot of my clients do is really start with something low impact. Do you want a cupcake or do you want, you know, a cookie? And so some people would just say, well, somebody handed me a cookie, so I ate it. Okay. But did you really want a cupcake? And so, you know, just those really like low chance of failure kinds of things, right? If I really want the cupcake, I still got a cookie. It's not the end of the world. Whereas, you know, well, I've taken this business down the complete wrong direction and, you know, that sort of a thing. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's definitely a muscle that you have to develop. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I do the same thing with my clients when they're talking about like, what career option do I take mm-hmm. or what career path? And it's like, well, do something, like move, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stay stuck, because when we move, then we get more data that right. we can now kind of process through to say like, ooh, was that am I in the going in the right direction or not? And it's like, I haven't committed to this whole like 4-year freaking another master's degree.
Right.
And,
exactly. You
know, like, I don't need to make that kind of commitment, but yeah. I need to move so that I have my environment, my body, I have something that I can now bounce off of.
Yes.
I can say that feels like a place to explore or it feels like it's not.
Yeah. Yes. Laura, I don't know if you work with Louise, and I have talked about this numerous times, mm-hmm. so I already know her answer, but I have a tendency to work with my clients to help them find that inner voice mm-hmm. by actually finding stillness. And so mm-hmm. while being in movement, yes. making a decision, getting there to just do something, absolutely. Yes. But coming to that place of stillness and to practice stillness mm-hmm. in small bits, like 30 seconds to a minute, 2-3 times a day, to just come to that place and just say, mm-hmm. what am I feeling?
Yeah.
Right. Not what am I thinking? Because that voice is really loud for most of us, but mm-hmm. what am I feeling? Wow. And just recognizing what you feel can be, and like recognizing you have a body mm-hmm. for most of my clients is the first step.
Yes.
Is that something that you do as well?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think it's really interesting to me in the yoga studio because, you know, I mentioned that I teach at the HOT studio. And so it's a lot of, you know, really athletic folks that are, you know, gym rats, and they're just doing this for a little bit of extra stretch or, you know, what have you. But they, I've had people get up and leave before the Savasana part of the yoga class, which mm-hmm. is the end when you take the little rest. And it's because they're not comfortable sitting in silence. And I think a lot of us, and I mean, my goodness, look at the world we live in. There is just noise. I don't know. I'm always struck if there's ever a power outage by how quiet it is. I mean, even I'm sitting in this room and there's nobody in here but me. Nothing else is on but this laptop that I'm talking to you all on, but there's still noise. And so it's just, you know, culturally, societally, environmentally, we all just are hearing this noise constantly. And so, yes, coming into that. And I think I literally bought a book. I have not read it yet, but it's called How to Breathe, because a lot of us don't even know how to breathe. And I discovered that when I was in the middle of not feeling well. I was literally only breathing in the top half of my lungs. And I had some acupuncture done, and I've never done acupuncture before this, but she said, I need you to take a really deep breath. And so I did. And then she was working on whatever magic meridian stuff she was doing. And she said, I couldn't even feel your lung meridian until you took that deep breath. And that really threw me for a loop. Like, my lungs are not even registering energy because I'm in that fight or flight mode. And I actually was listening to something with Mel Robbins earlier this week. And she was saying that she thinks mental health really should be from the neck down, because of our nervous systems, because of, you know, just all of this that we, and that's where that inner voice is. We don't listen to that, you know, and just making ourselves still. Yeah, there's, you know, I like to say that you get up and move when you need to change the energy of what's going on. But you also need to figure out and in what true stillness is for you, and knowing that it's going to be scary and your mind is going to wander and you're going to, you know, but like you said, if you can start in those small increments, I'm not going to tell you to go sit down and meditate for an hour the first time. You're just going to do
5 minutes.
Yeah. You may take 10 deep breaths and move on with your life. So, you know, just kind of finding that. But yes, it's another muscle, like we just talked about, that you have to train yourself to tune into that stillness, because a lot of us are just so, you know, and knowing, yeah, I have, you know, I have a book that says this might hurt. It really might. There may be something that comes up, but you know what? Once it comes up, it goes out. And so for a lot of us, like if we can get whatever's holding that voice out of us, we can really tune into that, you know, and it can be so, you know, I mean, it's maybe something that you work with your therapist on for years, you know, but it may be there. And yeah, and that may be the reason that your voice is silent too. And so, you know, just knowing that this is all connected and it's hard work, but it's worth it to get yourself to that place where you can listen and tune into that.
Our bodies are actually energy.
Mm-hmm,
and absolutely. We don't pay any attention to the fact that our bodies are energy. Mm-hmm. And like we're so focused on what's happening in our cranium, right? Our brains mm-hmm. and thinking our way through everything, that we are disconnected, right? There have been so many conversations about disconnection. And it was interesting what you were talking about with the sound, So during COVID, right, people weren't out and driving mm-hmm. around as much. And it was then that I was able to diagnose for myself how sensitive to sound I am. Mm-hmm. And it has since, as everything is coming back online, it's like, oh, that world is loud.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it can, and it makes my nervous system janky. So mm-hmm. right, learning how to work with that energy so I can be in the world where mm-hmm. it's, and you know, dance because I like loud music.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just noticed the time. That 40 yeah. minutes went by super fast. I would love to know, before we talk about kind of where you are in the world and how people mm-hmm. can connect with you, I would yeah. love to know, what are our takeaways? What are those golden nuggets that we hope that our listeners are putting in their pockets for themselves?
One thing that I like to say that kind of connects everything that we've been talking about is that a deep breath can be just absolute gold. If you're in the middle of being stressed out, if you're in the middle of making a big decision, if you're, you know, trying to decide to light that match and move on with a career, whatever it might be. I mean, just taking, you know, a couple of breaths to get into your body, I think that's always, and that's what movement does for us too, right? That's why getting up and moving, you know, changes that energy that we were talking about. So really, but just taking a deep breath and letting that breath go all the way down into your lungs and pushing out any stagnant air that's in there, it's just going to change your whole perspective with that. And, you know, I think what I, you know, I know you mentioned it in my bio, but when I coach people, we work on this framework that I've developed called Why Not. So I have people say to me, well, I could never XYZ. And I want to know why not. And that's really what we dig into as we work is, you know, is it a bad relationship? Is it a bad job? Is it a bad situation? You know, just what can you get yourself out of and moving that you can get yourself going? And I think that's, you know, just even not going through coaching with me, just asking yourself why not can be huge too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, you know, our whole conversation too is kind of just, we haven't said it, but we've danced around it mm-hmm. is that just like do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. If you are stuck, if you're feeling like things are crunchy and mm-hmm. it's not working for you, just do something. And choosing to do, not to be still, yeah. is choosing to do something different, right? So it's not always like go, 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 hustle, hustle, hustle. I got to mm-hmm. figure this out. Sometimes doing something different is taking that breath, but it's doing literally anything that you're not doing right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, and we talked about those low impact, low, you know, yeah. low chance of failure. Put a lemon in your water. Drive the other way home than you normally, you know. And
not on the opposite side of street.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, turn down Elm instead of Maine, or, you know, whatever it is. And there's actual science to that, you know, that our, I've done a lot of volunteering and work with Alzheimer's research. And that is how you keep yourself sharp is, you know, doing thing, not letting your rut just continue to yeah. get deeper. If you can yeah. knock yourself out of that a little yeah. bit, it's huge.
Yeah. The last little nugget that I'd love to just throw in here is what Louise, the little path that Louise led us down temporarily mm-hmm. is this idea of purpose mm-hmm. versus passion. And right. I don't want it to get lost in this conversation
yes.
that there is a difference.
Yes.
And that when we're talking about passion, we're talking about that spark that you can, that can mm-hmm. dim and can be reignited. When we're talking about purpose, that is something different. And so mm-hmm. getting ourselves stuck in that place of, well, I have to be passionate about what I'm doing. No, you don't, because that like mm-hmm. that's not sustainable, friends. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to kind of make sure that didn't get lost in the conversation.
No,
as well.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Laura, where can people find you in the world?
Yeah. So, you can find me on my website, which is just lauramickler.com. So, you can find all of my contact info there, a little bit more about me. I'm not a web designer, so please know, you know, no judgment on the website. It's kind of the bare bones basic. But the other place that you can find me is Instagram. And my Instagram is @LauraTakesABreath. And I actually like to do every Friday, I do something called Friday I'm in Love with Myself. And so I do a little 1-minute video of just something to think about today. I asked Statler and Waldorf from the Muppets that are up there heckling. Just something to think about. Is there a Statler or a Waldorf in your life that you're letting control your decision making? And so, you know, just little tidbits like that of things to think about. So, but I would love to connect with anyone in either of those places.
Beautiful. Louise, what do we have going on?
We have all kinds of things going on, and you would know that if you followed us on LinkedIn or you visited yourkickasscareer.com, where all of our events are listed and where you can join our Inspire Eyes network. So we'll be talking more about that coming up. But when career paths don't fit with Jillian McGregor Spur, I love Jillian. I just met her not that long ago. And so she's going to come on to our podcast, and we're going to have another great conversation, just like we had today. So join us, same bat time, same bat channel.
Good job.
Got it.
That was awesome. Any final thoughts before we say goodbye today?
I don't think I have any.
We're quiet.
Is it me? Or, yeah, no.
In general. Yeah, any final thoughts? All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. Laura, thank you for stopping by. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Wonderful.
Keep breathing.
Yes. You do nothing else, just breathe today.
Take a breath.
There you go.
I love it. Thanks so much, everyone. Bye for now.
Bye.